Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. For this passage of Scripture, I've preached on it in the past a couple of times, not this quite exact same message, but since I've been your pastor. But I'll give you a little background of this passage of Scripture. I was going through a very difficult time when I was pastoring in Alabama. It was a time, you've heard me mention it, whenever we were having so many deaths in the church. And we had a young man that had drowned on a canoe trip. And I was dreading going to church the following Sunday morning. So what am I going to say to this grieving family? And what am I going to say to this church that we're in so much grief? And Lord, my heart's breaking as well. And I really did not even feel like going to church. I dreaded going to church. I dreaded having the responsibility as the pastor to stand up and try to preach something that would help the people in that situation. And it was during that time, as I was thinking about that, that I was reading here in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I came across this 13th verse, and the Lord showed me something in that verse that I had never seen before. I'd read it dozens of times, but the Lord helped me see it, something there that I'd never noticed before. And He gave me a message for the church at that time. And I won't ever forget that Sunday morning I went, and I no longer was I dreading going. I knew I had the message from the Lord. And I preached the message, not exactly what I'm preaching tonight, but something similar to it. And I preached that message, and the Lord used it in a great way to minister to the people there. And it's something that it was given to me under those circumstances. And over the years, it's been a real blessing to me. I said this has been one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. The lesson from this passage of Scripture, a lesson that's helped me so many times over the years. And I think that under the circumstances of our church, during the course of the message, I'll mention some things about people that are going through some trials and things that we're facing, things I didn't mention in the prayer time this morning. And I'm sure that even then, I don't know it all. But we are. It just seems like we are being bombarded as a church from every side with grief and suffering and so forth. And problems, and I think the Lord would just have me preach a message tonight on this verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to look at verse 13. The Bible says this: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Please, Father, help me as the preacher to think simply and plainly and speak simply and plainly. Give me a clear mind. And Lord, help me to speak with conviction, but help me to speak with compassion. And I pray that this verse, that Lord, you would once again use it to minister to me, but I pray that you would also use it to minister to my church family and my friends, those that are here in the sanctuary, and those that will hear it by way of the internet and so forth. I pray that you'd use this to help us. And Lord, this is a verse, this is a message. There's a truth in this verse that some need right now. Many of us need it right now. But all of us are going to need it from time to time. And I pray that as you spoke to my heart many, many years ago, and lodge this wonderful truth in my heart, I pray that we lodge in the hearts of every one of us here so that in the days to come that we would remember this truth, and dear Lord, we'd find the grace to help in our time of need from this wonderful little verse of Scripture. And everybody say with their pastor, amen. We see the word temptation here in this verse. Now, when we read the word temptation in our Bibles or perhaps anywhere else, I think we are prone to assume that it is referring to an enticement to do something sinful. That's how we're kind of programmed when we think about temptation. That it's talking about an enticement to do something that is sinful. However, the word temptation can denote other things. And one of the things that it sometimes denotes is this: it is not an enticement to do something sinful. But it can also denote a trial that we're facing. It can denote a time of testing or a test that we're going through. Or as one Greek dictionary that I looked up the word in said, it's a proving experience. And so it's not just talking about temptations to do wrong, but it's also a trial, a proving experience. And that is how I want you to think of it this evening. And I think really in the context that that's how the Lord would have us to look at it. A temptation, it is a proving experience. It is a trial, it is a test that we're going through. Now, all of us experience these kinds of temptations, do we not? All of us do. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, where you are in between. We all face these kinds of temptations. And the Bible tells us here that they are, look at that verse, there is no temptation taking you but such as is what? Common to man. Otherwise, whatever you're going through with, whatever temptation, trial you have to face in your life, it is something that is common to man, which simply means that others have, others are right now, and others in the future will experience the very same thing that you are experiencing. Now, when you're in the middle of one of these proving experiences, when you're in the middle of one of those things, you tend to feel like you're the only one that has ever had to go through it. And you tend to feel that you're the only one that's going through it now. And nobody can understand what you're going through because nobody has ever been where you are right now. You kind of get what I'll call the Elijah complex whenever he said, Lord, I'm the only one. And the Lord said, no, you're not. I've got hundreds, thousands of others hid out over here. You're not by yourself. But when you're going through that trial, that's the way you feel. I'm the only one that's going through this. Nobody understands whatsoever. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that your feelings are very deceiving. They can deceive you greatly. I want you to understand that what you're feeling is not necessarily reality. There are others, even while you're going through whatever it is you're going through, there are others going through what you are going through. And there are others that have gone through what you're going through. And many of them have come through as the Lord would have them, as purified vessels, stronger saints of God, stronger testimonies. And so there's others always going through the same thing that you're going through. And it might surprise you to realize how close someone is to you that's experiencing something very similar that you are. You see, a lot of times we're going through something, and it might be a guy sitting right on the other end of the pew, or right across the church, or working across the bench from you at work, or whatever, that's going through something just like you, or similar to what you're going through, but they haven't said anything, and so you don't know anything about it. Now, many members of our church family right now are going through some very severe trials, some of those proving experiences. We have physical problems. We have family problems. When I talk about family problems, I'm thinking especially about concerns about children and grandchildren and other relatives there. Some are having problems on their job. Some are just under a tremendous amount of stress for different reasons. Some are going through the valley of grief. And the list could just go on and on and on and on about the temptations, the proving experiences, the trials that members of our church family are experiencing right now. Now, the trials of some of us are very obvious just because it's public knowledge. You know, when somebody passes away, that's a pretty obvious trial the family is grieving because that's public knowledge. So in a lot of cases, that's the way it is. And in other cases, it's obvious because some people are more open about speaking about their trials. That's one of the ways I guess they deal with them, is talking about them or sharing their burdens with them. But there's others that have trials that are not so obvious. There are others that keep their trials to themselves. They don't want to be a burden to anybody else. They'd rather just try to bear the burden alone. And so I want you to understand that so that you do not assume that just because someone is not talking about their problems, or just because somebody does not appear to have any problems, that you conclude that they don't have any of their own, that you have yours, but they do not have any of their own. I would say this, it is safer to assume that everybody else in the church, or whoever you're sitting beside, or whoever you're talking to in the foyer, it's safer to assume that they have a proving experience going on in their life than it is to assume that they don't. It is safer to assume that they're going through a temptation, a trial, than it is to assume that they don't. You say, well, they don't say anything about it. It's safer to assume that they are going through something than it is they don't. Why? Because trials are common to man. These temptations are common to man. Now, for years, I had heard people quote a part of this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, a part of this verse that is my text verse this night evening. For years, I heard people quote a part of this verse seeking to comfort and console and encourage others, seeking to comfort and encourage and console themselves and so forth there. I've heard it for years, and here's what they would say. Perhaps whenever they would see somebody else going through a trial, they would say, now, God is faithful. Brother, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Or they would say it to me, about themselves, I'm going through a trial, but I know this, God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that I'm able to bear. And usually whenever that somebody would say that to somebody else trying to encourage them, you know, brother, I know this, you're going through a trial, but God's faith will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. They would say that, and then they'd say something like this, now, don't you give up. You just hold on. You know God's not going to allow more to be put on you than He gives you grace to bear. So you just, boy, you just grin and bear and hold on. Trust God. He's promised not to put more on you than you're able to bear. And I had people tell me that at times. And whenever I would be going through trials, and when they would tell me that, I would kind of think to myself, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I'd say, the Lord sure must know something about me that I don't know. Because I am about to buckle under the weight of the burden that I'm carrying right now. And He has allowed that to be on me. And I believe I have to bear this much longer. If I don't know if I'll make it through another day. And where in the world, how is this promise applied to me? And that's what I'd hear quoted. But I want you to wait just a moment. I want you to think with me just a moment. There's more to the verse than what is normally quoted. What is normally quoted is, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But there's more to the verse. The verse goes on and says this. Look at that 13th verse. God is faithful, not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, you might want to do this. I've got some words underlined in this verse in my Bible. I've got the little phrase, common to man. I've got that underlined. And therefore, that reminds me that whatever I'm facing, that it's nothing that others are not facing as well. I'm not the only one in the world. All right? Another word I've got underlined in this verse is this, is the word with. But will with. I've got that word, with. And then I've got the word way. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And then I've got bear it, that you may be able to bear it. Those are some words that I've underscored in this verse of Scripture so that when I read it, they'll jump out at me and remind me of some things the Lord has shown me in the past. Now, I want you to think about what the Bible says here. All right? It says, God is faithful. All right? You're going through a temptation, a trial. And you realize this, I'm not the only person in the world that's going through this. It's common to man. So I'm not by myself in this thing. All right? And God is faithful, who will not suffer you, and this is talking to us as Christians, to be tempted, that is to be tried, to go through this proven experience, above that you're able. Now, here's the way I've always looked at it and always had it told to me and so forth, and is this. You know, yes, there's trials in this life. They're like, just imagine a burden on you. But you know something? God will not allow more to be put on you than He's going to give you ability to bear. He will not allow more to be put on you. It may take you right up to your breaking point, but He's not going to push you on that breaking point. He's going to give you strength to hold up under that. And so the picture I had in my mind was this. Here's a brother, he's just unloaded, just overloaded
And he can't, it's like, I don't think I can go any further, but God knows that you can. He knows you're stronger than you think you are, and so he's going to just leave it there a little longer. Maybe put a little bit more on you there. And he's going to give you strength to just buckle, just, you know, man up and bear that thing. That's the way, the picture I had in my mind. But then it dawned on me. It says, it doesn't simply stop there, but it says, but well, with the temptation. All right, here's the idea before. The trial's on you, the temptation's on you. And right before you buckle under, right before you break, God's going to lift it up. Or God's going to allow you a way, a place to run from it and get away from it. A way to get away from your problems. That's the way I've looked at it. But it does not say, but will give you a place to escape from your temptation, does it? It says, but will what? With that temptation, also make a way to escape. Not that you may get away from it, but that you may be able to bear it. Now, what you that changes the whole meaning of the verse. You see, here's the idea. I'm weighted down. I've got this burden on me. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it through another day. I'm just loaded down here. And somebody comes to me and they say, "Preacher, God's faithful. He's not going to put more on you than you're able to bear." And I'm thinking like, I don't think I can go on. I don't think I can go on. I need a way to escape. They said there's going to be a way to escape. I need a way to somehow just dump my problems off and run out from under them and get away from them there. But I can't see how I can get rid of these problems. I can't get away from these burdens there. But then it dawned on me. You know something? It's not that I'm going to be able to get away from them, to escape them. But God is going to give me some place to go with them. Wherein I will find strength to bear up. You see that? He's not going to give a way for me to run out from under my burdens and escape them. But He is going to give me a place that I can go with these burdens. And there, still with these burdens on my back, there I will find what I need to be able to continue to bear the burden. Changes the whole thing, doesn't it? Changed the whole thing. Before, looking for a way to escape from my burdens. Now, I'm looking for the place to escape with my burdens. You see it? Not to escape from my burdens, but a place to escape with my burdens. Not a place to escape from my trials, but a place to escape with my trials. Not a place to escape from my grief, but a place to escape with my grief. A place where I can go there, and there I'm going to find what I need to continue bearing this burden or this grief that there is no escaping from. But I can go to escape to a place with it and find the help that I need. You get what I'm trying to get us to see this evening? Now, the question comes at this, is where can we escape to with our temptations, with our burdens, with our proving experiences? Where can we escape to with those that we may be able to continue bearing up under it? Where can we go to? Where in the world can we go to? Alright? I'm going to give you some things right quickly this evening. Alright? Number one is this. The Word of God. The Word of God. Whenever you feel like, I just cannot bear this any longer. The Lord's put on me as much as I can bear it. I'm going to buckle under if I have to carry it any longer. Where can I go? Where can I escape to? Where can I escape to with this burden to find the strength I need to continue bearing it? The Word of God. Right here, this book. In this old book, we find comfort whenever we're grieving. We find strength whenever we find ourselves fainting. We find nourishment whenever we find ourselves hungry. We find instruction when we don't know where to turn, which way to go. We find counsel when we're trying to decide, make decisions. All of these things here we find in the Word of God. That is why it is so important to read the Bible. Not just your favorite portion. Not just a few select little passages that you read, you know, when you before you go to bed or whatever. But that you read it all in its entirety. Through and through, over and over and over. Read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. Read the Gospels. Read the church epistles. Read the general epistles.
Read the prophecies. Even read the book of Ecclesiastes. You need to read it all. Just read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. And I'm going to tell you what, whenever those burdens start piling on and you feel like I can't go on any longer, you know something? You'll go to the Word of God, and oftentimes God will say, you remember that passage you read a year ago? You remember that passage? I didn't mean too much to you then, or maybe I spoke to your heart then and covered you. Go back there. I've got something for you today. Just get in the Word of God. And even when you go through the Word of God, and there's no particular passage to go to, when you're just burdened down, read the Word of God anyway. When you're sloshing through a valley of grief, when you're bearing a heavy burden, when you're drowning in sorrow, or anything else, there's something in this old Bible that will help you. Now, here's what I found, and I think you'll find it as well. I tell folks this, read your Bible and read it according to some kind of plan. All right? You can vary your plan up. I don't use the same plan every year. All right. Sometimes I just start at the beginning, read it all the way through. Sometimes I'll read a book or so of the Old Testament, then a book or so of the New Testament, back and forth, and just kind of keep track until I know I've gone all the way through it. One of my favorite ways over the years is this: is I'll start reading the Old Testament, and on weekends I'll read the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I just kind of I usually have two or three markers in my book, and then I might flip over and read the New Testament Bible and go, and at the same time read in the Psalms and the Proverbs until I've gone all the way through. But have a plan. Sometimes I read it through chronologically, with the old Reese chronological Bible. But have a plan whereby you're reading the Bible through. And here's what you'll discover. If you've got a plan that you really are comfortable with in reading the Bible, God's using it to help you. If you're reading through the Bible by a plan, you'll be amazed at how that when you come to a trial, when you come to one of those temptations, when you come to one of those times where you're at your wit's end, you don't know what to do, you'll be amazed at how that in the providence of God, it just so happens your reading that day gives you exactly what you want. And that's no accident, because God knew before you got there what you was going to need. Amen? And so you're following in a plan that God's given you, and they just merge right there whenever you need them together. So go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. The 23rd Psalm when you're grieving. Psalm 1 Thessalonians 4 and so forth. Go to the Word of God. Proverbs when you need counsel and advice and just need some wisdom. Go to the Word of God. There's something there for every burden that you carry. Now, the second thing is this. You go to the Word of God, but you also go to the closet of prayer. The closet of prayer. Now, what do I mean by the closet of prayer? You know, the Bible tells us that when we pray, now this doesn't mean that this is the only way you pray, but the Bible does tell us that there's times when we need to go into the closet and shut ourselves off and just pray in secret to God, and that the Lord who hears us in secret will reward or answer us openly. There's times when we need that. There's times whenever you're not at liberty to tell anybody else what you're going through. There's times you say, I don't want to tell anybody else because I don't want to overburden them. But I tell you what, you'll never overburden God. And so you get alone in that prayer closet. Now, what I mean by a prayer closet, I mean you got to have a closet in your house that's just dedicated to prayer. No, that's not it. I'm talking about somewhere that you can just go to be alone with the Lord and weep your eyes out if necessary before Him and pour your heart out to Him. A place where you can just go and be alone with God. A place that you can do that. Now, every child of God needs a place like that. I'll call it your Garden of Gethsemane. You see, the Lord often resorted to the Garden of Gethsemane. On the night of His betrayal, Judas knew exactly where he was going to find Jesus. He knew where he was going to find Him. Why? That's where Jesus liked to retire to pray and be alone. Get alone with the Father. And so all of us need, in a sense, a Garden of Gethsemane that we can go and get alone with the Lord in. Your Garden of Gethsemane may be a recliner in your living room in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep. In fact, it may very well be that the only time that you can get alone with God is when everybody else is asleep. Your wife, your children, your husband, whatever, is in the bed sound asleep. It may be a path in a lonely patch of woods. It may be a corner over in your garage. It may be a corner somewhere in your backyard. but somewhere where you can just go and get along with God and pour your heart out and tell Him things that you wouldn't, you don't want to burden other things people with, and just pour your heart out. And there's something about the prayer closet where you can go there with your burdens and you'll find the grace you need at that particular time. And I'll tell you, a good place to go is the old altar in the sanctuary of your church. The old altar. Now I know this. It's sad, is it not, that we cannot leave our churches unlocked like we used to? Oh, I can remember as a boy, the church doors were never locked. And if anybody wanted to go by the church and just go in and pray, or go in and change the flowers, back then it was a big thing, fresh flowers on the communion table. And my grandmother, when our gladiolas were coming in, always provided the gladiolas. And we'd go out there and do that. The door was just always open. And that was a wonderful thing, because people could go in and they could go to the old church. They'd go there and kneel at the altar all alone in the middle of the day or whenever, and they could pray. That's sad that we live in a day and age when you can't do that anymore. Churches have to be locked because of the thieving, stealing, and vandalism and so forth that takes place. But I tell you what, even though the doors are not unlocked all the time, the doors are unlocked many hours during the day. Here at our church, Monday through Thursday, from about 9 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon, usually actually closer to 4:30, but officially 3:30. You can come in, and you can come in the side doors over there, and you say, I'm going back there in the church. I just want to go spend some time with the Lord. And it's very rare that anybody's going to come in and disturb you. It might be that you're somebody that has a key to the church, one of the deacons and so forth. And this is a great place for people to come to and pray. It's a quiet place where you can kind of get away from the world. So, but have you a prayer closet? That's a place that you can take your burdens to, that you can go with your burdens and find the grace you need. Now, another place is this. Remember, we're talking about we got burdens, and we can't get out from under them. We can't get away from them. But we can go someplace. God says He's going to make a place, a way for us to go somewhere with those temptations, and there we'll find what we need to be able to bear up under. Here's one of them that we can avail ourselves of every week, and that is the house of God. The house of God. We think about going to church, and people are getting away from going to church today. You know, they say, I don't need the church. You know, I can be a Christian without going to church. All that kind of stuff there. I'll tell you what, if you are a Christian and you're not going to church, you're not a very good one. I'll tell you that. The Lord knows that we need the church. He knows that. He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's not just so that to give us something to do. It's because He knows that we need that. And when we come to the house of God and we've got our burdens, you may not feel like being in church, but that's usually when you need to be there the most. And I know this personally, that many a time I've had the Lord strengthen me to bear my burdens as I listened to the man of God preach the Word of God. And he would not even realize that he was being so used of God to speak to me. And when those times came, I did not usually feel like being there. But when I left, I said, think to myself, I'm glad I came anyway. There you'll find the help you need. Bring your burdens there. Bring them to the church. And just come and let the man of God and the Sunday school teacher and so forth just speak to you. You see, God knows that we need that when He commanded us to assemble ourselves together. I was thinking along these lines, and over in Psalm 73, listen to what old Asaph. Asaph wrote a number of the Psalms, and I don't know a lot about Asaph other than he was a musician, but if you read the Psalms that he wrote, it's obvious he was a man that knew what it was to face trials in life. It's very obvious from the Psalms. And here's one of the Psalms that he wrote. And in Psalm 73, at verse 13, he says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Now, I want you to think about what this man said. I've cleansed my heart in vain. Otherwise, I have tried to live for the Lord. I've confessed all my sin in my life. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior that I know of. And yet it seems like it's all been in vain. I look around me, other people got it better than me. And they're not trying to live for the Lord. You ever feel like that? And so this is what Asaph is experiencing here. He says,
For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Now think about that. He says, all day long, I'm just catching it. I'm being chastened. I'm being whipped, okay? All day long. And it doesn't just happen one day and once in a while, but he says, every morning I wake up, and that's what I'm experiencing. This man's having a hard time. I don't know what his burdens were, what his temptations were, but I know this. They're about to overpower him there. And then he goes on and he says, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Otherwise, I don't want to say anything. Others won't understand. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But then notice this next verse, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know something? He says, man, I've had a rough week. Every morning I woke up, be chastened all day long. I didn't understand what was going on until I went into the sanctuary of God. I thought about that and I said, you know, it would be interesting to have a testimony service sometime and say, all right, here's what your testimony's got to be. It's got to be based upon until I went to the sanctuary of God. Otherwise, tell something that was going on that was about to overwhelm you, and then you went to the house of God, and there God met your need. There you took your burden, and there with that burden, you didn't get able to get away from it, but you took it with you, and there you found what you needed to hold up under and bear it. So, the house of God. And then another thing is this. It's the people of God. The people of God. Now, when we come to the house of God, we're around with the people of God. And we need that. But I want to tell you something. We need the people of God not only when we're on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday. We need to be around the people of God as often as we can, do we not? And one of the reasons is this. There we can go and just be around the people of God with our temptations, our trials, and so forth. And we go there, and there God gives us strength to be able to continue bearing up under that which we cannot get away from. You ever experienced something like this? You're around a brother or sister in Christ, and they will unknowingly say something or do something that will enable you to bear the burden that you're carrying. And they won't even know that they said it. They won't even realize it. But just being around them, there's something they will say. Something they will say, something they will do. It may be an act of kindness, something they do for you. But they'll say or do something that just lifts your spirit and enables you to go on bearing that burden. I trust you know what I'm talking about. I know I have often throughout my life. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the Bible tells us this in verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, I like that. He's the God of all true comfort. The world's got its comfort out there, but it's fake comfort. It's false comfort. The world turns to drugs and alcohol and sin and all that stuff there, but that's not real comfort. All true comfort comes from God. So He's the God of all comfort. Now get this. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that something? You go through a trial over here. And you feel like, I'm going to buckle under this trial. I can't go on. And yet, you get around a brother or sister in Christ. It may be at church. It may be at work. It may be somewhere else. But you get around a brother or sister in Christ. And they say something. Maybe they don't even realize what you're going through. Maybe they do. But they say something. Or perhaps they'll do a little favor for you. Maybe they'll give you a little something. But whatever it is, they say or they do something that just gives you the comfort and the strength to go on for another day. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? That's one of the reasons we need to be with each other. We really do. You know, we have fellowship meetings. I don't care anything about the fellowship. You need it. You don't care anything about it. It shows how much you need it, my friend. It shows how much you need it. It really does. I don't care about going to that because, you know, it might be I don't like what they're going to eat, or I don't like the activity, or this, that, and the other.
Listen, that's just a little bit of frill. I tell you what you do need. You need to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ. You do need that. And do things and say things to you that would just help you at that time. Now, I find it interesting here. It says that God is all comfort, and He comforts us that we may be able to comfort others. We often think about this. You know, the Bible, one of the names or the titles of the Holy Spirit of God is what? He's the comforter. He's the comforter. And a lot of times I think we get the idea that the way that the Holy Spirit of God comforts us, that He indwells us, and we get the idea of this, that whenever we need comforting, that the Holy Spirit of God just does something inside of us and comforts. Now, He can do that, all right? I'm not discounting that. But, you know, the word comfort, it means this, the one drawn alongside. And I'm going to tell you how often the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, will comfort you. And that is this. He will take somebody that He's indwelling, a brother or sister in Christ, and in them He'll pull right alongside of you and use them to say or do something that will comfort you. And you won't even realize that God so used you to do it oftentimes. You won't even realize it. I want you to understand, that's one of the ways that the Comforter draws alongside us and comforts us. Just being around the people of God. I remember the Lord had called me to preach, and nobody believed it. At a lot, nobody believed it. I was an introvert. I would not even lead in prayer in church. I was just that much of an introvert. And there were several other young men in the church being called to preach. And boy, they were outgoing, kind of had a charisma about them, you know. Personalities outgoing there. And everybody was thinking about those guys. They're going to really do something great for God. And everybody just kind of like, not Craig Holmes. Not Craig Holmes. Not him. And I was so discouraged. I was just so discouraged. It's like, God, You put this burden on my heart, and I can't get away from it. Lord, please do something. Please do something. If You can't, if I'm misunderstanding Your will, and You're not going to take me home, I can't bear this much longer. I really reached that point in my life. And I won't ever forget, I could take you to the very spot that it happened. It was at church one Sunday evening before church. And my wife, we had taken our little boy and to take him and put him in the nursery. And I stood outside on the sidewalk of the little breezeway that joined the nursery to the rest of the church building. And I was standing there all by myself. And there was a man came up to me, Bill Kersey, most unlucky fellow you'd ever see. Bill was a rough speaking old fella, but he loved God. Man, he was just kind of a rough speaking. He had been saved from a rough background. And I won't ever forget, I'm standing there all by myself. But old Bill comes over and he puts his hand on my shoulder. He said, Craig, I understand God's called you to preach. I said, yes, sir. And the way Bill said, like, Craig, I understand God calls you to preach. Said, yes, sir. He said, well, why aren't you doing something about it? You know, everybody else like, no way. I said, well, Bill, nobody believes that God can use me. Well, He can. And you just go ahead, and if you ever need anything, give me a call. Give me a call. Now, I never had to call on Bill. But Bill did something to me that night. I needed that. What I'm trying to get you to see, whenever I just felt like I can't go on like this, a brother putting his hand on my shoulder and giving me that brief word of encouragement, not having any idea what he was doing. If it hadn't have been for him doing that, I probably would not be here tonight. So if you don't like me here tonight, blame Bill Kersey. Anyway. But you get the idea? We need to be with the people of God. Now, one other thing is that the songs of God. The songs of God. The hymns of Zion, we could say. There's something about singing and singing with and being sung to that strengthens us whenever we feel like we just cannot go on. If it's the right kind of music and the right kind of words combined, there's something about it. It doesn't just stir our flesh and excite us, but it strengthens us in the inner man and enables us to keep going on. I want you to notice something here. Look with me at the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And here we see that the songs of God will strengthen us when we sing them with the people of God at the house of God or wherever, but we're singing them along with the people of God.
All right, Colossians chapter 3, and we look at verses 15 and 16. And the Bible says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, when your heart's troubled, you need God's peace. Amen? "So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now, this is written to a church, okay? And then he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." Now, get this. "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." There's something about coming together whenever you're just so burdened, you feel like you can't go on, and you come together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're singing songs that have a biblical message to them. And you're singing and admonishing one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. There's something about it that just gives us the boost that we need. That's why I say we can find a place to go with our burdens. One of those places is the songs of God. But now look at something else over the book of Ephesians. Back up a little bit in your Bible, in the book of Ephesians. All right, now in Colossians chapter 3, it says teaching and admonishing one another. So we're singing with each other. Congregational singing, we could say. But we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we read a similar verse, but there's a little difference. In verse 19, it says this, "Speaking to, not one another, but speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, not to each other, but doing it to the Lord." So, I want you to see this. We come to the house of God, or we get around the people of God, and we just sing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But there's other times whenever we're just by ourselves. And you just seem overwhelmed. Let me tell you something that will help you. Just start singing. Singing the songs of God. Just start singing. And it'll do something to you. I can't explain it, but it will do something to you. Just to sing. You know? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. You're overwhelmed with grief. Just start singing. Huh? Just start singing. Amazing grace, how sweet is our victory in Jesus. Sing those songs and they'll do something to you. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to see. Temptations and trials are a part of life. And everybody has them. None of us can escape them. Now, I want you to think about our church, what we're going through right now. We just had the funeral of Edith Lamb. Edith Lamb was a very special lady. She loved our church, by the way. She loved our church. Supported our church, even though she was not able to be here. All right? This past week, Charlena Leach has gone home to be with the Lord. Gone home to be with the Lord. Dolores, who rides the bus on Sunday morning, that was her mother. You know her heart. Charlena was her daughter. Dolores is Charlena's mother. You know her heart's overwhelmed with grief. You know that. We all going to miss Charlena. She had a rough life. But I tell you what, she was growing in the grace of God. Growing in the grace of God. Had a lot of things to deal with. But there we are. We're grieving over Charlena. I think about right now, this Wednesday, Dolores is going to have a heart cath. The lady lives all by herself there. And, that's why I say, wouldn't it be wonderful if some lady could just go up to the hospital and just be there. Just be there with her. But she's going through a hard time. She's going through a hard time. And then I think about this Friday, Brother Sonny Norris is hopefully going to have those hernias repaired. They put it off a couple of times, concerned about putting him to sleep. And then I think about Brother Ken Duffy, going to have a heart ablation. Now we know this Brother Ken is a miracle. He's alive. We know that he's physically weak. And that's a serious thing for him. But he's going to be having that. I know Brother Scott, Thursday night, I dropped by his house to give him the card. He was going to fill the bus up with gas to give him the credit card. And he broke the news to me. He's got a cancer on one of his kidneys. Brother Richard called me Friday afternoon and just needed somebody to talk with him. And I don't think he would mind me telling this, but he just found out he's going to be deployed. And normally I give you a 6 months advance notice. This time it's a 2 month advance notice. If something doesn't change, he's going to be employed. a single dad and all that he's got going on in his life, the burdens that he's got there. I got a text this afternoon. Robert Allen's having, he's passing out. They don't know why he's passing out. And other problems that people have told me about this week, some I'm not really at liberty to talk about. But it just seems like that all of a sudden in the last week or so that everywhere we turn, we're being bombarded, we're being attacked. You know, as a church, when I say we got so many problems to deal with, people say, oh, your church is divided. No, we've got a sweet spirit in our church. We really do. We got a sweet spirit in our church. We're not a big group of people, but I tell you what, we're not bickering and fussing and all that stuff there. We laugh at each other, pick at each other and so forth there, but we love each other there. But it's other things, the burdens that are just piling on. And I know this is with you, that some of you, you got to be looking at things and say, how in the world can I hold up much longer than this? There's got to be a place that I can get away from these burdens. No, there's probably not. But there are places you can go with your burdens. And I've given you some of them. There are places you can go with your burdens, and there you'll find the help you need to carry those burdens, to carry them on. The old movie, I think it was in Song of the South. That's not politically correct anymore. The old Uncle Remus tale. I love the old Uncle Remus tales. I was brought up reading on the old Uncle Remus storybook. But I believe it was in the movie Song of the South. And you know, back then it was all animals talking to each other. You had Brer Fox, Brer Rabbit, Brer Bear, and Brer Buzzard, and all those Brers in there. And there was one scene in there that old Brer Rabbit, he is fed up. He's just got problems after problem after problem after problem. And old Brer Rabbit, he's just fed up. So he's packing up his stuff. And old Brer Bear comes over. And if you remember Brer Bear, he always talked, it's real slow. He wasn't real smart. And so he comes over and he says something like this. Brer Rabbit, where are you doing? He said, I'm getting away. I'm packing. I'm leaving. And he says, where are you going to? And Brer Rabbit said something like this. He said, I'm getting away from here. I'm going far, far away. I'm going to go far away where there are no problems. And Brer Rabbit makes a wonderful statement. Brer Bear said a wonderful statement. He said, there ain't no place that far. There ain't no place that far away. I'm going to tell you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a place 100 or 1,000 miles away from here that we could take all of our sicknesses and all of our griefs and all of our problems with children and grandchildren and so forth and all of those things, and we could just, get an automobile, drive 1,000 miles, dump them off and come back. Woo! That's wonderful. Wouldn't that be great? I'm going to tell you something. Ain't no place that far away. The burdens are right here. The temptation is here. But right here, there's places that God has given us to escape, not from our troubles, but with our troubles. And I've given you some of them this evening. And I hope you'll remember them in the days to come. I hope you'll remember them and go to those places. Go to those places and let God give you the strength you need to bear up under the load you're going to have to carry. Let's stand.